days, two nights, raised on the third day, mm-hmm. and the Spirit descended into hell, where he preached on to the prisoners of hell, to let them know they could do it.
Question, though, is, when you talk about verse 6, what is the gospel? That's double good news. And it says, now, whose gospel preached? Who's the person that the Peter could be? He said, the gospel
was the gospel to those who are begging. Well, how is that possible? They're dead.
There are two deaths, there's physical death and spiritual death. The death he's talking about here is spiritual death. When we sin, we separate ourselves from God. In John chapter 5 and verse 25, Jesus said, "Truly, truly, I say to you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that live." Then he drop down to verse 29. Notice he says, verse 28, "Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in which all that are in the graves will hear his voice, and shall come forth. They that have done good to the resurrection of life, they that have done evil to the resurrection of damnation." So the whole point is that the gospel is preached to those who are spiritually dead. Because of their sin, if they hear the gospel and respond to the gospel, they will be made alive. They will walk in newness of life with Christ. And there's a lot of other passages that we can look at too. You know, Matthew 22, where Jesus talks about God, or he is the God. He is the God of Abraham and Isaac and so forth. A lot of other passages. Colossians 2, verse 13, kind of uses the same terminology. Colossians 2, verse 13 says, "You being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he has quickened together or made alive together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses." So, that's what he's talking about.
That's one.
Possible, you know, like we're talking about chapter 3, how that by Jesus preached to the people in the days of Noah by the Spirit, you know, you could look at it that way. But
Luke 9:60, just to piggyback off what Doug said, Luke 9:60, Jesus talks about let the dead bury the dead, and in that passage he's referring to both cases of being dead. Physical death, spiritual death. So let those who are dead, not saved in Christ, bury those that have passed away or died. So just to add on what he said.
Yeah, it's possible. And also, there is another possibility that it could be dead. Because it says, for this reason, the gospel of God was preached. Was preached when they were alive.
Baptism for fallen family members.
be baptized for somebody else?
I don't know. That's why I brought it up.
Well, I'm asking you. Where's the logic behind this? What does that do me good to be baptized if they're dead?
Right. It's something they were doing in the first century after AD.
I don't care what century you talk about when the I'm just kind of tell you though that I'm trying to tell you this that. What is the purpose of me being baptized for somebody that's dead when they didn't live a Christian life? How they never did obey it. All right? What is the purpose of me dying or being baptized for them when they never even obeyed it? They're going to be judged according to that. We're going to be talking about that. They're going to be judged for what they've been done. Whether they obeyed or not obeyed with it.
Sorry, Dale.
No. You got a question to ask. That's all right. Men live and make their moral decisions in their physical existence in the body. You can't make that decision after you're dead. You're dead. It is your judgment is going to count on what you do while you're alive, while you're in this physical body, while you're existing. It is on this basis that you're going to be judged. What are the people that he was talking about? They're going to give an account what they did to the Christians. They're going to have to give a report to them, to Christ. Why did you persecute my children when you were alive? Everything that you do is while you're alive, not while you're dead. I understand about the physical death and everything like that, and I agree with that. I don't have a problem with that. But in this particular instance, I don't think he's probably talking about that. I think he's talking about living dead or living or being dead. But he's talking about this, what they were preached the gospel when they were alive. And that's why he's talking about it. I believe when you look at the context, go on just a little bit more. You got something else to say?
Well,
yeah, I know what you're going to go back.
The false doctrine that was being taught in Corinth was the false doctrine that there is no resurrection from the dead.
That's right.
And so that's the entirety of what 1 Corinthians 15 is about. And so this is one of the arguments that Paul is making for the resurrection. And again, it goes back to 1 Corinthians 15:29. I'm talking about physical death. He's talking about spiritual death. You're baptized because you are dead in your sins. And you rise to walk in newness of life from that watery grave of baptism, which he teaches in Romans chapter 6. Okay? So, if there is no resurrection, that's what they're saying. There is no
No.
In regards to this,
it's a point, yes.
But that is the point. Mm-hmm. And he'll go on from here and then talk about, you know, the resurrection and that we're to be raised from the dead. If there is no resurrection, the first point that he made was, if there is no resurrection, then Christ is not raised.
Mm-hmm. I agree with everything you said, everything, but I don't think that's the principle that he's preaching here.
No, that's not what he's talking about in 1 Peter. I'm just answering John.
Yeah. Oh, excuse me. I thought you just thought. I thought that's what you started with. Then I thought, well, maybe I missed it.
No, I'm answering.
I got you.
About, well, what do you mean baptized for the dead?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. You're baptized because you are dead in your sin. Okay? Is what
right.
The Greek says. So if you're baptized because you are dead in your sin, then the necessary inference is that you're raised from your baptism to walk in newness of life. That there's life after death. There's spiritual life. Yes. You are baptized for relatives and so forth. Can't do that.
Well, the emphasis, I think he's making a point on this particular, and this is there in 1 Peter that Peter's making here, is that the body is existence is the only time you have to make a choice. You make a choice while you're living, while you're alive. After you're dead, you have no choice. Your choice is gone. Your choice is already put down. That's the reason he tells them that they're going to have to give an account. They're going to have to report about their life when they were alive. Not when they're dead, but when they were alive, what they did. Now, he said, you guys, he gives examples here, you did all this stuff. Or here, some of you did this stuff. Or here are some of the examples of it. This is what you were like. This is what you used to like. But you're no longer that way. Well, what does the world look at you now? Because you're not doing those things. Well, they're the ones that are making fun of you and talking evil about you. Well, when are they doing that? When they're alive. They're going to give an account for this. What they've done upon this, while they're walking on this life, they will make a report. Every one of us will have to make a report about it. Give an account for what we did, good or bad. And he pretends to go on, and he says, well, I don't want to go a bit. But for this reason, the gospel was preached also to those who are dead, which I think is the physical death, that they might be judged according to the men in the flesh, what they did in the flesh when they were alive, their physical body, but live according to God in the Spirit. After suffering the condemnation of unbelievers, Christians have life from God in their spirit. Persecutors can't take that away. Can't do it. Cannot be done. They can't do anything for you now. I'm against you now. That's it. It's only while you're alive, and that's why he tells these people, you're going to suffer for this life. You're going to be persecuted. And you may end up dying for this. But you think of the difference in the time factor. What time you have on this earth compared to an eternity forever, 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 forever. That's common sense. Which one would you rather suffer? If I had to suffer, I would suffer here in this life. And I will suffer for Jesus Christ and His kingdom. That's what I want to do. That's what I should be doing. If the Master can suffer for me, I can suffer for Him. Now, not everybody's going to do that. When it comes time, when you push the button, when it comes time and says, look, if you don't change, you're going to be persecuted, and it's not going to be pleasant. And how many people will go and say, wait a minute, let me think about this one. I don't think I could do that. Well, he's telling you, you better be doing it. You better be able to suffer this. And when you're thinking about suffering, you just put your mind upon the same mind as Christ. Christ went through it, a horrible death for you and I. And he doesn't expect anything different from anybody else. Anybody else have any questions, comments? John? No, that's no problem, John. Take care. It's all right. You got a question, you asked it. Verse 7. But the end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be serious and watchful in your prayers. All right. What end are we thinking about here? But the end of all things is at hand. What are we talking about? What is at hand? End of the world? Anybody else? Do what?
End of your life.
End of your life? Judgment Day? There are some. You look at the commentators that they're going to say this because it is at hand. That's the destruction of Jerusalem. And I don't see that's in there. I read the arguments and see about it. There is no time with God. Time is for you and me. 1,000 years is one day with the Lord. He didn't go by time. So, but what is he talking about? What have you been talking about? But the end of all things. What can be the end of all things? When Christ comes back again. Judgment Day. That's the end of all times. And yes, it's at hand. Well, it's been 2,000 years. How can it be at hand if it's 2,000 years? The destruction of Jerusalem was just a few years later. That's what he was talking about. There is no time with the Lord. That 2,000 years is nothing for him. And then you really think about it, it is at hand for us because we have a short period of time. We don't know when it's coming.
It's interesting when people say, well, that's the destruction of Jerusalem.
Yeah, I know.
Okay? And they'll say that because of the at hand.
Uh-huh.
It's at hand. Okay. Well, what about all things? Because
I know. It did have effect on other things. But it's, okay, I'll give them that. But it's not all things.
So, it comes down to understanding things the way God understands.
There you go.
What he's communicating. So, at hand can mean, you know, at hand, W is at hand.
Right.
Okay. It is also used in the sense of certain. The end of all things is certain, you could say. Okay. But why could God look at it from the standpoint of at hand? One day is as 1,000 years. When you're not on the clock, you know, everything's at hand. You know, so in this context, he's using at hand in the sense of it is certain.
Yeah.
It's going to happen.
Well,
in the last days, the last dispensation of the history of mankind.
Yeah. I think it's the interpretation. I would say you should mark it down as a sure thing, but it's really both of them. Like I said, with God, there is no time, and it is at hand with Him when you consider it that way. Like I said, time is for us. He made time for us, but like Doug, he wasn't on a clock when he made it, right, John? Well, something we can look at, but I'll be honest with you, I don't have it in hand. I don't know.
It supports the general consensus that God is beyond time and space.
Yeah. Okay. Anybody else?
God mentioned last days. Acts 2:17 mentions that.
Do what? Days. Okay. Well, we do know that there is no other age coming after this age. We're in the last age of this world. And so I think this is what we're talking about the end of all things. The end of this age or the end of this world, and that's what happens in the day of judgment. And that's when time shall cease for that part, this world. It will be over with. And this world will be destroyed. The heavens and earth will shall be destroyed. You will see that later on too in Peter. Any other questions or comments? All right, we'll start with verse 8 come Sunday morning. Larry?